Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, March 11th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Not a ton going on in the last 24 hours or so. A few pieces of news, fight announcements, and a few signs by PFL, which is going to be fun to talk about, but not a ton to talk about. So no breaking crazy news like anything like that. I do want to plug the podcast I did with Cole yesterday, breaking down UFC Brasilia this weekend. We both picked a lot of underdogs, so it's going to be a fun card to watch. Definitely go back and check that out if you missed it. But let's get right into today's show. So, like I said, not a ton of news to talk about, but there are a few things that I noticed that some of the fighters were saying. So I'll start with Tyron Woodley here. Tyron Woodley's not happy. He's not a happy camper. He's actually fighting next weekend. That fight with Leon Edwards really snuck up on us. It's going to happen next Saturday in London. Should be a great fight. Woodley is not happy, and he's called out the hypocrites, especially Joe Rogan, who we called basically was a hypocrite for the comments he made during some of Woodley's performances, like the Wonder Boy fight, the Damian Maia fight, and then in the Israel Adesanya fight, didn't say anything. Dana White's the same way. Dana White ripped on Tyron Woodley for not being aggressive when he fought Maia and Wonder Boy the second time, but when Adesanya fought, they all called him like a smart fighter and said it was a smart game plan. And I, you know what? I kind of agree with Woodley here. I see why he's upset. You know, he's a guy that definitely has been a little bit of a whipping boy, I think, for fans and for the UFC at times, just because some of his performances, especially during his title run, were kind of dull. Like the Usman fight, where he lost his belt, the Wonder Boy fight, the second one, where not much happened, and of course the Maia fight, where he at the time had the record for least amount of strikes thrown. If I'm not mistaken, Adesanya actually beat that record with even less strikes thrown. So I could definitely see how Woodley's upset. And, you know, for him, it's like he was doing all this work to defend his belt and he wasn't really getting the praise that he thinks he deserved for defending his titles, whereas Adesanya has been getting praised even after that awful fight. Like, he's just got to understand, though, that from the UFC's point of view, they still view Adesanya as like their golden boy and as a meal ticket. So I'm not surprised Dana White and Joe Rogan and people connected to the UFC didn't go out there and rip Adesanya for a horrible fight. I'm not surprised at all. He's still a young fighter in the sport. He's only had 8 fights in the UFC. That's not many fights, and he's still improving. He had a bad fight. He had a terrible fight for the fans, and it was disappointing to watch, but the UFC still looks at him as a meal ticket. They don't want to, you know, say anything negative about him. They still want to build him up. You know, they want to promote him. When he fights Paulo Costa, they don't want to have clips floating out there of Dana White ripping Adesanya. So I'm not surprised that really no one's said too much negative about Adesanya. They were more ripping on Yoel Romero for a bad performance. And Yoel's performance was awful and really sad to watch, considering, you know, his age and the fact he's not likely to get a title shot anytime soon. But Adesanya was to blame as well for that fight. Of course, though, most of the blame has been penned onto Yoel Romero. And speaking about Romero and Adesanya, Michael Bisping was on his podcast yesterday, and he ripped both of them for having what he called a shitty fight. And you know what? He's right. It was a terrible fight. I did not enjoy watching this fight. I thought it was so funny seeing some people on social media the other night saying, like, this fight's fascinating to watch. This is like chess match or something. Like, come on, guys. Really? You don't have to say that stuff. That's even worse than what Dana's been doing. That was an awful fight. Just got to say it like it is. It was nice to see Bisping say that. You know, Bisping, for better or worse, he didn't really have too many boring fights. Most of his fights were pretty exciting for the most part. He always was pretty aggressive in his fights, or his opponent was aggressive and finished him. He didn't really have a fight like this, a stinker like this. So I'm not surprised Bisping was out there ripping on both these guys. Of course, he has worked for the UFC. I wouldn't be surprised if Dana said, hey, you know, don't say that about Israel because we're trying to promote this guy as like a superstar. But, you know, he's got his own podcast, and he said his piece. And you know what? I'd agree with everything he said. So Bisping definitely made some fair comments about both these guys for what was a really lackluster fight. And honestly, I'm kind of tired of talking about this fight because it's Wednesday and we're still talking about it. But there wasn't too much news today to talk about. So I had to kind of get what some of these fighters were saying. And the last thing I want to mention about Romero was his manager, Abe Kawa, Malky Kawa, the Mikawas, they spoke yesterday. I think it was MMA Fighting. And they basically said that they do consider Romero a gatekeeper now after the 3 straight losses, but they also think that if he gets 3 more knockout wins in a row, he could get a title shot again. It's just going to depend on what the fans want. Well, right now, the fans don't want to see him fight for the belt anytime soon. Having said that, if he goes out there and knocks out 3 contenders, like if he goes out there and knocks out Darren Till and like Jack Hermanson and Jared Cannonier, of course he would get another title shot. The odds of that happening seem low to me, but it could happen. It's possible. Having said that, you know, I think maybe a move to 205 is not the worst thing for Romero. I know he'll be short at that division, and I know that John Jones and Romero both have the same management. Obviously, they wouldn't want that fight, but at the same time, maybe a fresh start is what he needs. Maybe he has been cutting a lot of weight to make 185, and maybe moving up to 205 where he doesn't have to cut that weight is going to help him. Like, he started his career as a 205er. He moved to 185 when he came to the UFC. It's worked out really well for him. He's had a great career. But maybe moving to 205 is not a bad thing. It's a fresh start. And, you know, that division is not that deep. So a few wins by Romero over a couple top 15 guys, top 10 guys, he could possibly get a title shot at 205. I just think at 185, there's just too many guys right now that deserve it more than him. You know, you got obviously Costa, then you got Cannonier, you got Till. There's too many guys. He's too far behind at this point. He's not getting a shot anytime soon. Like Alex Longley said, he was kind of given a gift title shot. He blew the opportunity, and that's what happened. So I think that 205 is not a bad move for Romero at this point. I don't know how much success he'll have here in that division because he is a little bit shorter, but at the same time, he still has a ton of power, and his cardio might be a little bit better at 205. So I don't think it's the worst call in the world if he actually ended up doing that. Speaking of weight cutting and stuff like that, Henry Cejudo was interviewed the other day at the Dominance MMA Media Day, and he was asked about the Davison Figueiredo Joseph Benavidez fight. Surprisingly, he actually said that he thinks it's a good idea they're running it back. He thinks it's fair to Joe because basically said that between the headbutt and the weight miss, he thinks that Figueiredo cheated. And he basically was saying that, you know, at this high of a level, 2.5 pounds is a lot of water weight to cut. Even like a 0.5 pound miss is a lot. So he's saying that, you know, with that much weight that he had to cut, he wasn't suffering as much as other fighters have to make that weight. And I actually agree with them. The first thing I thought when Figueiredo missed weight by 2.5 pounds, I was like, damn, that's cheating straight up. At the same time, though, he was not eligible to win the belt. So it wasn't like the smartest cheating if it was. But there's no doubt that you got to make weight. And it is a little surprising that the UFC is kind of giving it a pass on that. They're just going to run that fight back. But at the same time, that division, as we all know, is very shallow. So they needed someone to fight for that belt. And it's obviously going to be Figueiredo and Benavidez running it back. But I kind of do agree with Masuda Hudo said, to be honest with you. All right, PFL, they announced 10 new signings yesterday. So some really nice signings by PFL here. They promised a few months ago that they would basically revamp half the roster for this season. They've done most of that work. They're still, I'm sure, going to sign some other people that we haven't thought about yet, that they haven't announced yet, I should say. But we don't know who they're going to be yet. But for now, they did announce 10 signings, and there's some good signings here. We got, look at this, Olivier Aubin Mercier, which I've talked about already, but I like that signing for them. You know, OAM, listen, is he great? No, but he's not bad. And, you know, the UFC obviously has caught a lot of the Canadian fighters, and he's one of them. But at the same time, I mean, this guy does have a winning record in the UFC. His overall record in the UFC was 7-5. He did lose 3 straight fights, but he lost to Hernandez, Burns, and Tsarukyan, and those 3 guys are ranked. He also has really good wins on his resume, like Anthony Rocco Martin, Drew Dobe, or Evan Dunham. Those are some solid wins. So this guy is a pretty good fighter. I think he'll do pretty well in PFL. I don't know if he'll win the welterweight tournament there or lightweight tournament. Not sure where he's going to compete, but he's definitely a solid fighter. Johnny Case, that's a pretty good signing too. Johnny Case is not a bad fighter either. Johnny Case is a guy that was in the UFC for a while. He's fought for Ryzen since then. He has actually gone 5-1-1 in his last 7 fights since leaving the UFC. So that's not bad. Level competition has been great, but his last loss was this guy, Taufiq Musayev. That guy's really good. So that's not a bad loss at all. He also has a draw with Nathan Schulte in PFL. That wasn't a bad performance by him. And of course, he does have UFC experience. He went 4-2 in the UFC and got cut. I think it was a contract issue. I don't think it was really his performance, you know, because 4-2 is a pretty solid record. The guy is a pretty solid fighter. You know, he's dating Emily Whitmire, the UFC women's strawweight, who just had to pull the last fight. So he's got some confidence right now. And I think he'll do pretty well. I don't know if he'll win the tournament, but I think he'll do okay. Clay Collard's another guy they signed. I like Clay Collard. He's a fun fighter to watch. He's won 4 of his last 5 fights. Just had a boxing match. Looked really good in that fight. He did fight in the UFC a few years ago, back in 2014, 2015, went 1-3, not a great record, but one of the losses was to Max Holloway, so kind of excuse that one. You know, overall, he's a very exciting fighter to watch, win or lose. So I think this is another fun signing, but I don't expect this guy to go very far in the tournament. Probably losing the first round or the second round, or the way they do, I guess, with the point system. I just don't see him basically passing like the quarterfinals. Martin Held is another guy they signed. Held is, as you know, a former UFC fighter as well. He went 1-3 in the UFC, so not a great record. He lost to Sanchez, Lozon, and Hadzovic, and then he beat Hakparas, and then the UFC let him go. And since then, he's won 3 straight fights, including a submission or a decision win over Diego Brandão's last fight. He does have a submission win over Callum Potter, who's a current UFC fighter from a few fights ago. He also has tons of experience at Bellator. He's a dangerous guy on the ground. Again, I don't know how far he's going to go in this tournament because he is kind of one-dimensional with his ground game, but his submission game is very strong, and I think he could do pretty well, probably win a few fights. Doubt he wins the tournament, but I think he's going to do okay. Cindy Dandois is another signing. She's a women's lightweight. She's actually a featherweight. She's going to be fighting a lightweight, though. And, no, another pretty good signing. Dandois, another former UFC fighter. A lot of these fighters are former UFC fighters. She has one fight in the UFC back in 2017. She lost to Alexis Davis. That was a bantamweight, though. Lightweight's a better weight class for her. Featherweight's actually ideal, but lightweight's better for her. She also has a couple decent wins in Invicta from back in the day, including a win over Megan Anderson, which looks pretty good now, considering Anderson is, you know, definitely up there in the rankings. And she also has a win over Marlis Kunin from back in 2009 when Marlis was, like, one of the best in the world. So, you know, Dandois is not too bad. She's on a 3-fight win streak right now. You got to feel bad for her. She was just a victim of the domestic assault by her boyfriend, who's also an MMA fighter. He beat her up pretty good. But, you know, this woman's a warrior, man. She's a battler, and I think she's going to do pretty well in PFL as well. Again, I don't know if she wins the tournament because she'll have to fight Kayla Harrison. That's going to be a tough matchup for her, but I think she's going to do okay. Justin Willis is another signing. I've talked about him already. That was last month where they signed him. Good signing, and he's got to be one of the favorites to win their heavyweight tournament. He went 1-4 in the four and one in the UFC. He lost his last fight to Curtis Blaydes, but he had wins over guys like Mark Hunt, which was a great win, and also Chase Sherman as well. So he's a guy with a pretty solid wrestling base, and overall, I think he's going to do well. We know that he trains at AKA with DC and those guys, so he's getting good training in. Didn't work out for him in the UFC. He had some contract issues. I think kind of butted heads with the UFC matchmakers, but I think he's going to do okay in PFL. Bubba Jenkins, a former Bellator fighter, he's coming to PFL as well. Bubba is a guy that at one point in time was a can't-miss prospect in Bellator, and not sure really what happened in his career. You know, he's kind of been inconsistent. He's been finished a bunch of times. But he is coming off 3 straight wins, including a knockout win over Lucas Martins in his last fight. He was the Brave CF featherweight champ. The Martins win was solid. Martins, a former UFC fighter as well. You know, again, Jenkins with that wrestling background, he can win a lot of fights, but we have seen him fight quite a bit over the years now. And, you know, he's a guy that can get finished. And I don't think he's going to go too far in this tournament, although I could see him definitely winning a few fights just on his wrestling alone. A couple other signings here. Laura Sanchez, women's lightweight fighter. I don't know a ton about Laura Sanchez, but anytime they sign a women's lightweight, it's probably a good thing for Kayla Harrison because she could beat most of them. And this girl's only 1-0. She has one pro fight against, I don't even know who this is, Miranda Barber 2 weeks ago. So she has one pro fight that happened 2 weeks ago. She does have 7 amateur fights dating back to 2015, including amateur experience in LFA. But, you know, one pro fight that happened, sorry, not 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago in January. But still, that doesn't really bode well, I don't think, when she fights Kayla Harrison, inevitably. Muhammad Usman, that's the brother of Kamaru Usman. This is a good signing. I like this signing. The motor, 6-1. This guy's a tank. Take a look at his picture on Tapology. He's a beast. Great signing here, I think. He's a 3-fight win streak. His one loss is greater. Dontell Mays, he's currently on the UFC, as you guys know. And, yeah, this guy's coming off back-to-back knockout wins. The last fight, Reggie Cato and Titan FC looked really good in that fight. It kind of went viral a little bit. So this is a good signing for them. I'm a little surprised the UFC didn't sign him. I'm not saying he's a great heavyweight or he would even do really well in the UFC, but he is Usman's brother, Kamaru Usman's brother. And you think that Kamaru would have been like, hey, sign with them. But maybe, you know, he pushed him towards signing with PFL because, hey, heavyweight, you get a couple quick knockouts, you could win $1 million. It's possible, right? And the last signing here by PFL, Jordan Young, who is a former Bellator fighter. And I'm a little surprised they let him go because he had a good record, 11-1. In Bellator, he went... let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. See, 6-1, and they let him go, which is a little surprising. He did lose his last fight, but still, 6-1 record's pretty solid. Bellator makes some really head-scratching decisions. Like, they've kept this guy on the roster for 3 years, and then all of a sudden, he loses one fight, let him go. Very strange. I think he's going to do pretty well. Light heavyweight's not really a deep division for PFL, so I think he'll do pretty well. Overall, I like the signings. I mean, it's nice to see the new blood in PFL. Obviously, none of these guys are as high caliber or as Rory McDonald is because that was their biggest signing of the offseason. That's a huge signing for them, but still some decent signings. And Hopefully there's going to be a few more. Their season starts in May. That's the third season. This is make or break for PFL, guys. You know, they got to have a big season. Their investors want to see a return on their investment. And you know what? For the fighters' sake, I hope they stick around, because how often do fighters get a chance to win $1 million? Not very often. And just one fight announcement here. UFC Oklahoma City gets a lightweight belt between Drew Dober and Carlos Diego Ferreira. I did talk a little bit about this on the second podcast yesterday, but I do want to quickly give my thoughts on it. Kind of strange backtracking here. Like, Carlos Diego Ferreira is just a beast. He's on a 6-fight win streak, 8-2 in the UFC. Great fighter. He hasn't lost since 2015. He has 2 losses in the UFC to Dariush and Poirier. I mean, those guys are both studs. And he's coming off a win over Anthony Pettis by submission, where he looked amazing. This guy's a stud, man. He is one of the best in the world. He's 35, though, so I thought they would give him a step up in competition against a top 10 guy. And he's not actually getting a ranked opponent here, Drew Dober. And you know what? Drew Dober is a guy that has really improved over the years. You know, he's won 5 of his last 6 fights. You got to give him credit. He's coming off a really nice knockout win over Nasrat Akbarast. He is a dangerous fighter. He's got some knockout power. And overall in the UFC, he is 8-4-1, no contest. 8-5-1, no contest, excuse me. But he's won 5 of his last 6, so he's improved a lot. You got to favor Diego Ferreira, though. I mean, the guy is just so dangerous everywhere, especially on the ground. He gets thrown over the ground, he's probably going to submit him. And it's going to be a legitimate submission, not like the time where Leandro Silva submitted him with a guillotine choke from half guard. All right, let's see what else like there is here today. I don't think there's too much, like I said, guys. Not a ton of news out there. All right, let's see here. Oh, I did see the ranking. So the UFC rankings are a joke, but I got to talk about this quickly because – right, so yesterday, and I don't agree with this at all, but there's a few things I don't really agree with. First off, I don't really agree with Adesanya moving up on the ranks for pound for pound past DC. I mean, I know DC's coming off a layoff and hasn't won since the Stipe fight, but still, like, come on. Like, what does Adesanya did? And what did he do in his last fight to say that pound for pound should be ranked higher? Again, pound for pound's kind of stupid, but it's kind of weird that he moved up in the ranks. I noticed that light heavyweight, they did drop DC out, which is fine because he's not going to be fighting a light heavyweight anytime soon, which he did say this week. Middleweight, Cannonier moved up a spot somehow over Romero. I know Romero had a bad performance, but Cannonier didn't fight, so why did he move up? That's just kind of weird to me. And the kind of one that's making everyone's head scratch is Willie Zhang moving past Shevchenko in the pound-for-pound women's ranks. I spoke yesterday about the comments that Shevchenko made about Zhang, and I really didn't agree with them. And you know, I definitely thought that her comments were made out of jealousy and bitterness. But at the same time, this is kind of stupid. Like, yes, Zhang looked pretty good against Joanna. It wasn't her best performance, but she looked good, and it was an amazing fight. An amazing fight, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Shevchenko has been really dominant, and it's kind of weird that Zhang, off a split decision win, and don't get me wrong, it was fight of the year, but winning a split decision is going to pass her past Shevchenko on the pound for pound ranks. That's kind of weird. It should be Nunez, Shevchenko, Zhang. That should be the women's pound for pound ranks, and then the rest of them you can figure it out. But that is just very strange. Again, the UFC rankings are kind of a joke. I don't really care about them too much, but I do have to mention them because they do affect the fighters, they do affect the matchmaking, they do affect fighters' pay. And this is why I chose never to do them. I was like, I'm never going to do these rankings because I don't want to have any influence into how much a fighter gets paid by the UFC. And I think that's what a lot of these ranking panelists do when they make shoddy rankings like this. They affect how much guys and girls are getting paid. And that's something I personally never wanted to do. All right, let's see what else there is. I think that's going to be it, though. Pretty sure that's all the news. The Willie Zhang thing, she blew up in China, which is no surprise to anyone. They made millions of dollars over there for her performance. Brian Ortega apologized to Jay Park for hitting him or whatever. I don't really care about that whole story. It seems kind of, I don't want to say phony because I truly believe there was like some sort of scuffle, but it's kind of stupid in my opinion. I mean, like this Jay Park guy, who is this guy? Like, I know he's famous in Korea. I don't know who he is. I don't really care about him. And I think this whole thing's kind of silly. And Romero's manager said that he's going to be ready in 3 months to come back. And just looking at the rankings, I mean, it could be really anyone in the top 10, but I think Gastelum would be a really fun fight for him. Hopefully, you'd like to say it's a fun fight, or even like Cannonier or Till. Any of those fights would be really good. All right, that's going to be it for today's show, guys. In the meantime, you can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And as always, I'm available at MAOddsBreaker.com. That's my home. That's the home of the podcast. I'm also available at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net. Go back and listen to UFC Brasilia podcast yesterday, where we broke all the fights down and gave our picks. Guys, thanks again for tuning in, and I'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the podcast. Bye.